In addition to the C-suite level, of course, at every level of organizations, we're seeing a focus on just the shift from physical office space to working at home. Working from home, at least on a hybrid basis, has really become the norm. Of course, in the nonprofit sector, we have a lot of clients who don't have this option. The frontline, human services, social services, health, education organizations are doing less of this. My clients that focus on addiction treatment have very, very strict regulations on the being able to dispense medication and do treatment. They're not doing as much remote working. But for a lot, the think tanks and universities and lots of our clients are able to shift their workforce and enable a lot more flexibility. Previously, fixed costs are now becoming optional. Nonprofits were quick to give up their leased office space and shift to letting employees work from home or just getting WeWork space for temporary meetings and gatherings. Important to note that there are state regulations, of course. You know, I think Track B, I'm pretty sure it's Track B, they're going to deep dive on remote work, full and hybrid telework policies and all of the laws that apply. So please do tune into that. Non-discrimination becomes a key issue. Who gets to work from home on what terms? How is the organization making those decisions? Are you focusing on data security? Are you focusing on people's ability to keep the information that comes to them now at their laptop sitting in their kitchen tables? Secure. All of that becomes an issue and is going to require board level conversations and probably a lot of policy implementation. Determining where someone's workplace is going to determine withholding rules and a host of other rules from an employment and labor perspective, wage and hour laws included. Andrew pointed out to me he had a couple of clients that were being asked about the public inspection requirements for their 990, right? So if you don't have it posted on your website or otherwise digitally available, you are supposed to have it available upon request at your place of business. Where is that place of business now? So a host of new and granular questions arise. I think that a lot of these granular details are going to be covered in the tracks, but if anybody has specific questions, we're happy to address. I'm getting a lot more requests to use my office as the client's principal office when I'm doing exemption applications for new charities, for example. I wonder if any of the other practitioners on the call are experiencing that. So I think I've covered most of these topics already, but it is important to note creativity and flexibility are the name of the game for recruitment and retention right now. And that is no different in the nonprofit sector than it is in any other. Remote working, giving employees increased access to technology and flexible work hours are on the rise. I don't think I have any nonprofit clients that don't at least have a hybrid policy at this point. We're also seeing on the development desk in particular, and I know Megan Biss and her colleague are speaking on this tomorrow, but in the development space in particular, the skill sets required for fundraising and the regulatory oversight for fundraising are changing and evolving. There's also a need for training on all of this and the technology to suit it. So I'm also seeing clients that are doing special grant proposals, just seeking the technical capacity to increase their technology in order to facilitate all of this. With that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Andrew, to start talking about charitable purpose.
Sure. Thanks, Tiara. A lot of the stuff Tiara was talking about was, you know, executive leadership, operations a little bit, some certainly succession planning, talking about the board's responsibilities. But, you know, my experience is that I think a lot of people early on certainly focused on how to react, how to respond. And there's a great deal that goes into actually the higher level, the governance level sort of issues. And, you know, I think it hasn't been uncommon for organizations to reassess their charitable purpose and their activities. And there are different implications of doing that. So, you know, first I've identified that, you know, narrowing the focus of your current mission in response to the pandemic, is something that, short term or long term, is pretty common. So, you know, we saw organizations targeting specific communities within existing programs. Like, so we've got broad programs, maybe as international focused, and we want to focus geographically. Maybe we're thinking about specific communities that are disproportionately affected by the pandemic. But again, those typically don't require governance reforms if it's short term, but could if it's long term. Obviously, I think it goes without saying, but say it anyway. Shifting resources to prioritize immediate needs. You know, we've seen organizations shelve some sort of long term strategic plans, whether that's, you know, work that has a longer deliverable timeline, and so just didn't feel as urgent or as important at the period of time, or just foregoing things like capital improvements or other things so they could redeploy resources. Or on the less optimistic side, just organizations just struggling tremendously with sort of the financial fallout and the challenges, particularly organizations that depend on contributions from the general public. And just think, like, how do we stay afloat? You know, what are the core essential programs? And each of those are sort of adjustments people have made.